So is anyone here watching the TV show Crazy Ex-Girlfriend? Just me? That's okay. Now, the show tells the story of a young woman named Rebecca, who gives up her life in New York City at an awesome law firm to head west, to West Covina, in California, to hopefully find love with an old boyfriend she first met at summer camp. The show is full of drama, wacky situations, adult themes, and also songs. Each episode has at least one character expressing their inner thoughts through song and dance. Even the opening credits are a musical number, with a very 1920s feel, with backup dancers resembling the Rockettes, and a bouncy, uplifting tune that masks the trouble and drama Rebecca brings to her world. Now, my favorite part of the opening credits is at the very end. The backup dancers are holding these giant red cutout hearts. The camera is looking down at the dance team, and we watch as the dancers move closer and closer until their multiple hearts form one giant heart, with the face of Rebecca's old boyfriend in the middle. And then, out of the blue, Rebecca's own face bursts through with a blam. And then there's silence for several uncomfortable moments. We just sit there, watching Rebecca's face smile. And just when we think the credits should end and we should be at our first commercial break, we're still there, staring at her face. The silence lasts a little too long. It makes us, the viewers, feel uncomfortable. The whole thing is totally awkward. And we wonder if maybe our TVs froze up. Silence can be all sorts of things. It can be awkward, like the opening credits to Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. But it can also be a blessing, like standing in our front lawns in the middle of a snowfall before the snow plows and snowblowers disturb the silence. But silence can also be a source of horror, like the unnatural silence of shell-shocked children that we see in videos documenting the obliteration of eastern Aleppo. Silence on its own is heavy. And the heavier we're in it, the more I want to break it. The more I want to fill that terrifying or joyous or peaceful or awkward moment with any kind of sound. And that's an urge I felt while reading this passage from Matthew. Because in today's story, Joseph never says a word. Angels speak, his fiancée is pregnant, and he plans to break up with her. There's a lot going on here. But through it all, Joseph is silent. The gospel, according to Matthew, never records Joseph ever saying a word. The world is about to change. God is doing a brand new thing, and through it all, there's just silence. And that's a bit awkward. So what do we do with that silence? Sometimes we try to fill it in. Like that skit from Saturday Night Live that was on 2 weeks ago. The one with Emma Stone as Mary. And she's tired because, you know, she just gave birth. And visitors keep coming to the barn, and Joseph keeps letting them in. Joseph's silence in Matthew lets us expand the Christmas story. Because since he says nothing, we are allowed to give him words to say and emotions to experience. Joseph is our blank slate, inviting us to enter the story and be there. When Joseph sees Mary pregnant for the first time, or when a dream tells him who Jesus will be, or when another dream later on will tell him to gather Mary and Jesus and head to Egypt to be refugees, to escape King Herod's violence. Joseph's wordless experience of his story lets us put our words on his lips. And for a moment, play in the Christmas story. Now, giving Joseph these kinds of words is something we should do. Scripture is not just words on a page. Scripture is a story that we are invited to experience over and over again. When we enter into Christ's story, we experience God. But Scripture also gives us space to not always rush in. Because what would happen if we let Joseph stay silent? What if we didn't give him words? Joseph, a carpenter, finds out his fiancée is pregnant, and he's not the biological father. So he says nothing, and instead tries to dismiss her quietly to make this whole thing silent. But an angel comes and tells Joseph to make Jesus his son. And Joseph tells the angel nothing. Jesus is finally born, and again, as we see, Joseph says nothing. Described in this way, Joseph seems like a bit of a lump. Amazing things are happening, and Joseph can't get the energy to say something that Matthew might think is worth writing down. But if we let Joseph stay silent, if we curb our need to fill his awkward silence with our words, our feelings of awkwardness about his story can unlock one of the many mysteries of Christmas. Because one of the miracles of Christmas is that God works, even in the silence. In moments of silence that are our own making, or in those moments when we think God isn't speaking, God is there. Our silence to God or God's silence to us doesn't mean God is absent. Silence instead is a moment where we're invited to see everything that God can do. We might sometimes imagine our faith will always be like Mary's when she first met the angel. Mary, according to Luke, entered into her calling with a fullness of speech and heart. But in those moments when we are not Mary, when we have no words to say, no words to describe what's happening to us, no words to even make sense of the unbelievable, God is already there. When Joseph saw Mary and knew she was pregnant, there were no words that could fully capture what God was doing. Joseph's first instinct was to dismiss her, send her away, but God's word interceded. God stepped in, breaking into Joseph's silence and his desire to make the whole situation silent, and instead propelled him into the future that God was already bringing about. And the future that God brings is a future where awkwardness becomes the norm. Uncomfortable mysteries will be central to Jesus' story. This child is going to grow up and hang out with the sick, the paralyzed, the demon-possessed, and even when he isn't supposed to, he will bring them love. Jesus will seek out the poor, the miserable, the broken, and tell them good news. His ministry will take him far from home, from the shores of Galilee, to the lands of Gentiles and outsiders, connecting him with immigrants and refugees, Syrophoenician women and Samaritans, and he will see them all as children of God. And finally, when it looks like Jesus' story will end, when the sky grows dark and he takes his last breath on the cross, the silence of 3 days will be broken by a resurrection that women are the first to see. Even in the silences, even in the awkwardness, even in the horror, God's future breaks through. God's promise of presence and love was made real on that first Christmas morning. And in those moments when it feels like the dawn has yet to break, when silence turns from awkwardness to something eerie and full of dread, let's remember to hold on to Joseph's silence, a silence that propelled him to be a willing participant in the future God is creating. A future that we are called to live in, even now. God's future is a future full of love, a future full of grace, a future that looks like the community Jesus called around himself. A community where all are fed, all are cared for, and where all are propelled to stop being silent, so that we can be to others who Jesus is to us, and Emmanuel for the entire world. Amen.